Yes.
But if you hold on to it, many times it can become an idol, and then it's destructive.
You'll lose everything. That's right. We're going to look into a third word for favor, and this is kaphates. And it's C-H-A-P-H-E-T-S, but it's pronounced kaphates. And it's Hebrew, of course. And it's 2654 and 2655. They're basically the same word, even with different numbers, but the same word. And it's to be pleased with and in desire. And God desires us. See, this is God. He's pleased with you. He desires you. He desires communion with you. And one of the verses we find that word kaphates in is Psalm 41:11. By this I know that thou art pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. And then another reference for kaphates, which is 2655, is Psalm 35:27. It's the same thing, pleased with, delighted in. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication, and let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant.
You know,
praise God.
I think about a family going on some, let's say, little vacation. And even the dog wants to go. You know, I had a dog one time named Jiggs, and Jiggs was shedding, and my dad said, no, Jiggs, you go back to the house, because Jiggs was a long-haired white dog. And he'd get hair all over everybody, including the upholstery of the car and so on. Well, anyway, Jiggs didn't want to go to the house. He wanted to go with us. So Jiggs got on the running board, and then he got on the fender, and then he got on the hood, and he climbed on top of the car. So Dad says, okay, I'll see if you can ride up there. He backed out. Long story short, Jiggs learned to ride on top of our car. Quite a deal. But now I'm thinking about the Lord. Do we ever say to the Lord, we're taking a trip here, we're just so excited about this trip, and invite the Lord specifically to go with us? Say, Lord, you know, I have to tell you, Barb, I just assume God be with us. But you know, I think he'd like to be invited.
Yes, he would.
I think he'd like to be included.
Yes.
And if we say, Lord, we're just counting on you going with us. We're looking forward to spending time with you and you spending time with us. And I think when we realize that, we say, we want your presence with us. We're just inviting you to go along. Now, I've never thought of that before in my life, but you know, I think God would be so honored and so pleased to be included. Mm-hmm. And many times when we realize there are people that don't want you around, you're not included, you're not on the list, you're disinvited, I tell you, do us a favor and stay home. Now, there's some families like that and some business deals like that, and people say, well, I've been disenfranchised or I've been disinvited. I've been asked to not show up. They don't want us there. Mm-hmm. Well, that's real rejection. I wonder, Barbara, if we do that to the Lord unknowingly. And
yes,
maybe he would just like, we'd like to say, Lord, we would just love it if you would be with us. We want your presence just to be manifested with us on our trip.
Yes, and he who delights in the prosperity of his servants, and he who delights in so much in just being involved with his people. And a scripture I think of, Darren, when I think about, does God think of us as much as we think of him? He thinks more of us than we think of him. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and the plans for you, saith the Lord, and they are not for evil or calamity, but they are for your welfare, to give you a hope and a future.
In other words, I'm thinking about good stuff for you.
And he's thinking on us all the time.
Now, in this verse that you just read a while ago, Psalm 35:27, and I'll read it again. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many of us need to be vindicated in our workplace or in our families or whatever it is, in some relationship deal. We need vindication. We need to be maybe proved out, maybe innocent.
Yes, and that's what that word means. Vindication means proven innocent. And that's right. And I believe the born-again believer, when he really trusts in God and, like you said, realizes that God is with him all the time and respects God and honors God that he's with him all the time, then in his workplace, anywhere he is going to be vindicated wherever he goes.
Now, I've been in workplaces where there was one person that had favor in their lives, and they were called, you know, negative. Oh, he's a fair-haired boy. You know, the boss likes him, and he just gets all the breaks. Well, in fact, he did get a lot of breaks because there was great favor on his life. But when you look at the second half of this Psalm 35:27, the Lord be magnified. See, that's being noticed.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Who delights in the prosperity of his servant. So in other words, when you get a raise or you get a break or you get a bonus, God is delighted.
But he's only delighted if you magnify him and thank him,
right,
and are grateful for what he has done in favor in your life.
And you give him the credit.
Yes.
Bottom line,
yes,
he is the root cause for that blessing or that promotion, and not that wonderful boss that you took out to eat. You know, you maybe had drinks with him or whatever, and you just said, you think that's the way you got your promotion? Hey, come on. Give God a break here. Not just give Darren a break, but give God a break and give him the credit.
Yes.
Where credit is due.
That's right. Well, another person that had great favor, and in fact, in this book, and it's another book entitled, it's a woman's name, and it's Esther, and it's right before Job. So you have Psalm, and then you go backwards to Job, and then you go to Esther. And in this little book of Esther, the God's name is not mentioned at all. And yet we see favor 6 times on this woman. And she is she's an orphan, and she's been adopted by her uncle Mordecai. And they are captives in the Persian Empire. They've been taken captive, and now they are bond slaves of this king. And
you know, Barbara, this is almost like the story of Ruth. Basically, she was an orphan.
Yeah.
She had no husband.
No, yeah.
She's on her own.
She was on her own. She left her father and her mother in Moab. And, you know, she could have stayed there, but no, she loved Naomi. So here we see King Ahasuerus, and I know Russell, he would say, Barbara, you're slaughtering that name because he pronounces it another way. But King Ahasuerus, who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces. Now, this was a great empire, over 127 provinces. So he ruled from the Nile. Israel was no longer. Judah was no longer during this time. They were totally taken over by strange and foreign people. So from the Nile River to the Euphrates, which we know now as Iraq because it's in the news every day, this was his kingdom, a large kingdom. And his queen was a very stubborn and willful woman, and she wouldn't come to his banquets. So he kind of put her on the back burner, and one of the guys came, one of his attendants came, and he offered him a plan. He said, King Ahasuerus, what if we go through all the kingdom and gather the very beautiful young virgins to Susa, and they can be in your harem, and you can pick a queen from them? Well, one of them was this niece of Mordecai, and she came, and she was the most beautiful of all.
But see, and I think the king dissed his wife, we would say today. And that's kind of a slang term on the street, but you know, if they diss them, that means they put them down.
Yeah, they do. Well,
they put them away, pushed them away.
Well, here in Esther 2:15, Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her, in the eunuchs who dressed her and prepared her. Now, before she even went in to see the king, she had to have perfume and be surrounded and soaked in all kinds of perfumes.
She soaked in oil for how long?
Yeah, a year. I mean, before she sees the king.
Well, she went in smelling good.
You can't even describe that. Yes, I mean, yes, he found her very attractive, Darren. And then in Esther 2:17, and the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she found favor, there's that word favor again, and kindness with him more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head. So she was now Queen Esther. Then in Esther 5:2, and it happened when the king saw Esther standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight, and he extended to Esther the golden scepter. And this was after there was a conspiracy, and Haman and all these people wanted the whole nation of Israel dead. They wanted to kill every last Jew in the province. And so Esther went before the king. And he could have not extended his scepter. He could have said, no, I don't want to see you today. But she had such favor in his sight, he extended to Esther the golden scepter, and then she invited them to the banquet.
Now, I believe this, that it wasn't just the fact that of her physical appearance. She had to be gorgeous beyond gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
All right? She was the number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it was her spirit, you know, and this king may not have picked up on that. But I believe that there was something really attractive, magnetic, we would say charismatic today, we might use that word. But she had it all.
She did.
And the king says, you know, this woman, I do.